Hello and welcome to A Few Good Minutes, our first of the year, brought to you by Dream Finders Homes, the official home builder of the Jaguars. Jared Odrick joins us. If you don't know him by sight already, maybe you know him as an author, a columnist for Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Illustrated this week. Before we start, real quick, just did you write that and send that to them, or did they ask you to write a column?
It started off with a conversation, you know, that I had with one of the writers. You know, I had built a relationship with Sports Illustrated and specifically Monday Morning Quarterback by doing the article with Jenny Ventris up in Toronto, yeah, this summer. So by building a relationship with her and a few of the other writers on the staff, and especially when Peter King and his group came through here during training camp, you know, I had built a relationship with some of them and just had open dialogue with them on different issues, all types of issues. And, you know, this one kind of, you know, gained some tread, and we went somewhere with it.
All right, so let's talk about it. If you haven't seen it, it's at MondayMorningQuarterback.com. Let's start with flag and the idea of freedom. And Colin Kaepernick is not he's the first now, but he's not the only one who's expressing himself during the national anthem. Are you surprised by the pushback that he's gotten for expressing himself?
Surprised? Unfortunately, no. I'm not surprised. I mean, there's a reaction that happens every time that I see that type of reaction, but not necessarily surprised. You know, what I'm so surprised by is you know, how everybody reacted to something that he didn't come out and say. He just withheld. And by withholding and taking a knee, you know, the questioning came, the questions came, the cameras came, you know. It wasn't him who made it this way, right? He made it an issue by following through with a statement. He made it a protest by following through with a statement. He made it a social movement by following through with a statement. What he did by kneeling was something that I think he probably did for himself more than anybody, or not for himself, not selfishly, but did for, you know, his, the way he felt about the flag in that moment and that time. Now, then the cameras came, then the questions came, then the headlines came. And, you know, which I think is necessary when dealing with issues like this. But I was just so surprised that people thought of how aggressive that was when it was so not aggressive.
Well, especially we saw aggression in Ferguson, Missouri when things were burning. We've seen aggression when people have burned the flag itself. Mm-hmm. And the thing that stuck out to me was is the reaction to a, I don't want to say peaceful, but it was. I mean, and he's handled it. How do you think he's handled all of the attention? He's been pretty steady.
No, he has. He's been steady. You know, he obviously has a message behind him, and this is something that is grown into a large part of his life, if not one of the main parts of his life. And, you know, and I applaud him for it. You know, not everybody's in the position to be able to do that or in the mindset, and he is, and it's something that he's dedicated to. And, you know, a few players were in conversation, you know, via text or phone or, you know, however, just with technology, just about the goings-on of everyone across the league showing some type of support, whether for him or whether for the communities that they, you know, respectively play in, you know, but it's in having those conversations with the players and interacting the very little that I did with Kaepernick, it was evident to see that, you know, this is definitely something that that is a part of who he is, and it's taken over. And I wouldn't be surprised if he were to come out and say, you know, this is, you know, football's taking a back seat to how I feel about these issues.
Not every player is going to take that exact action. Mm-hmm. But do you get the sense that players around the league, the majority of them, support him taking some action, whatever it is?
Yeah, I think the majority do. I think a majority do. I still think there's a lot of players scared, confused, underinformed, miseducated, or misinformed and undereducated. Just about social, you know, issues in, you know, in general, and where this country has come from. And, you know, this is one quote that I had constantly repeated to my teammates this offseason or even this preseason. But then also I actually had this in the article, and I think it got cut just because we were trying to, you know, formulate the right words. But, you know, it's funny and this is Baldwin as well, James Baldwin, that a country with such a complex history promotes simplicity. You know, as long as you say your words with sincerity, it doesn't matter if you know what you're talking about, and that these are American virtues. And to end the quote, I thought that spoke volumes, because, you know, you're in a realm and in a facility or a job or within the football culture where you feel that sometimes that's true, where if people raise their voice or if people yell it, people say it with sincerity, then it doesn't really necessarily need to have any backing.
Right.
And I question why people come to accept that as a form of expression, thought, or logical thinking.
You mentioned that players are confused, and that brings us to our second point, which is money. Is that why? Guys are uncertain how far out they can go without costing themselves.
I think that's a part of it. Yeah, I think that's a part of it. And in the article, it talks about, really how we've been built into not really thinking aloud, or saying anything out loud, you know, because you understand that there's something wrong with the situation of how many people show up in a stadium, but then I have to go home after the game and eat ramen noodles, but I saw 100 people wearing my jersey. Like, you understand there's something there, but you also have a vision in mind, and, you know, it's winning ball games, it's you know, playing in the NFL, and you're living out, you know, a lot of people's dreams, including yours. But at the same time, there's a lot of people making money off of those things, and you kind of have to, you know, put the blinders on, because there's nothing that you can do as a college student, or at least you feel that there's nothing you can do as a college student to kind of change that situation. And it's not your main focus at that point as a 18, 19, 20-year-old kid.
Final thought, and that's future. Where does this take you? I mean, clearly, you are someone who got out of line at some point in your life and decided you were going to be yourself, which I have great respect for.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should stay in line. But where do you go? Social justice seems to be a passion of yours. Is that something that you'll pursue?
I'm not sure. I mean, for me, you know, writing an article and talking about things like this, this is like an everyday thing for me when I go home or even in the locker room. You know, I speak about a lot of these things, you know, whether it's, you know, things socially, economically, there's all types of hypocrisies in the world. I guess, you know, my issues are, you know, are hypocrisies, and I can't stand them, or I go after them, or I try to point them out, or I play the devil's advocate. But in terms of this, you know, social situation that we have going on in our country right now, it's more me applying logic to the situation, and not necessarily, you know, me coming from a project, because I didn't live in the projects. I didn't do that. I grew up in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and I grew up, you know, with my mom in a single parent home for the most part. And, you know, I grew up with all Hispanics, mostly Hispanics and white children that went to my school and I was great friends with. And, you know, it was, in a lot of the things that I grew up with, you know, you didn't see the overly harsh conditions in which I think a lot of people want to bring justice to, or just the, you weren't exposed, and especially you weren't taught about it. And I think that was an issue. But I think more than anything, for me, it's literally just applying logic. I'm using logic here. I want people to have conversations. So it's not coming from a background of, you know, how I was, you know, pulled over by the cops and, you know, this happened to me, or I saw this person get beat by, you know, this person, or this kind of thing happened where he couldn't get, you know, a lease for, like, those things didn't happen directly in my childhood, but it's me applying logic to a system in which we've all accepted and that we're all a part of, whether that's America, whether that's football, whether that's anything else. And, you know, just wanting to have open conversation and open dialogue instead of something that's so hush-hush about the way that things are set up, and pointing it out and talking about it.
Doors kicked open now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is America working. My opinion is that this is creating this conversation. So the question is, does America get better because of this? This conversation that's going on in locker rooms and in water cooler situations and offices all around America right now.
It has the potential to do so. Yeah, it definitely does. You know, but just for so long, you know, we've kind of been, you know, and this was, I think, an Instagram post of mine. It's just, you know, before all of this had happened, I had spoken about a conversation needs to be had. You know, and I think this is right after one of the many shootings that had happened, you know, during what I call my off season. You know, it's like a conversation needs to be had, but we more and more we're bred to not have conversation. We're bred to just be consume. We're bred to consume. We're made to watch, listen, whether it's to the Kardashians or any other, you know, housewife show. It's just, you know, nobody has dreams of their own. You know, everybody just wants other people's dreams. And it's this weird thing where, you know, conversations aren't being had and everybody has to pit themselves up against each other. And, you know, that's the divisive language of Trump and the divisive language of this presidential candidacy, you know, that we're being exposed to and how it's transformed into a reality show. And there's so many things that we're consuming, you know, laughing at, you know, but then all of a sudden a policy changes and it's, I don't know, it's just this weird thing where nobody's engaging. Everybody's just watching and they don't know that they're a part of it.
This is compelling. And the conversations are interesting and they're important. And I hope that you'll feel free to come back and share your thoughts on a regular basis.
Yeah,
with us here as well as Monday Morning Quarterback.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
That'll do it for this week's A Few Good Minutes. A few more than a few good minutes, but all of it impactful and insightful. Thanks for joining us.